Good morning and welcome to Dr. Ng's Sunday Soul Connection. As always, we begin our time together by setting the intention with Naturally 7 to let it be.
Lord, I pray for this day we've come together, that our hearts and minds reflect you.
As always, I applaud you for taking the next 45 minutes or so out of your busy Sunday to just let it be. I feel it's important always that we are intentional of our time together. It really isn't just an opportunity to just listen to whatever the message is, but it is a conscious choice that we are making to set aside this time to commune with the source of all that is, the ground of our being, God in us as us. Rumi said that there are 100 ways to kneel and kiss the ground. There are many ways with which we can come into conscious communion with God, whether it's via meditation or contemplation or prayer or joining with the Sunday Soul Connection to consciously commune with the source of all that is. Any way and each way is good. And so I honor and commend you all this morning for taking your time out as we listen to this word. And always I'm open to whatever and wherever the message or the inspiration for the message comes from. And this morning's message is entitled, How Then Shall We Live?, which is taken from a quote by Maureen Muller, whose book I listened to this week. But before I do and share that quote with you and the reason for it, is to, in almost an answer to a poem that I read by Mary Oliver, which got me thinking. And Mary says, when it's over, I want to say, all my life I was a bride married to amazement. I was the bridegroom taking the world into my arms. When it is over, I don't want to wonder if I have made of my life something particular and real. I don't want to find myself sighing and frightened or full of argument. I don't want to end up simply having visited this world. When I read that poem, it struck me. And we've covered this subject and topic many times in many ways. But still, I am conscious of what and how am I living, and whether it's making a difference, and whether I'm showing up as the beloved child of God, or whether I am consumed with my worries or concerns. I want to know, how am I living? And I feel it's a question that we have to constantly keep asking ourselves, because just how a pilot has to keep auto-correcting, even though he has set the path and the direction for the flight, it will veer off course. And I feel that we too, no matter where we are on our journey, no matter how accomplished we think we feel we have done what we are here to do, we too have to keep auto-correcting. We too have to keep checking on ourselves and checking in to see, are we still on the path in the right way, in the right manner, dedicating ourselves, our lives, our time, our energy to the expression of spirit. And so then I came across the quote by Rain Muller, which made me want to listen to the book. As I said before, I was away in Gosport and I had the time. And Wayne says, a life is made up of days. Each day is an opportunity to say something honestly, to make something more beautiful, to create something precious, to give a gift only we can provide for the family of the earth. To dedicate a single act to the healing of others is a day well lived. Those words really rung deeply with me. I wanted to investigate further if I was living in that way, if I was really expressing all that I needed to express, all that I had been purposed for. I feel that I came up short. But that's okay, I'm not berating myself. I know that every moment of every day is an opportunity to do better. So I decided to look at what the Buddha said as to how we should live. The Buddha too was a very enlightened soul. And I wanted to see how that differed, or if it differed, from the way that our teacher taught us. And so there are four things that the Buddha says that we should do to live a good life. And the first is to gather merit. That is to be able to cultivate compassion, to have an altruistic motivation and to do things for the benefit for others. It's to help people in an appropriate way, whether it's giving advice or being generous and disciplined and developing patience to help them, or developing the kinds of qualities, but to ensure that you do things with a pure and sincere wish to help. Again, when we look at the demonstration and example of our teacher and way shower, we can see clearly in all of his interactions with people, of his compassion, of his altruistic motivation, of his patience, not only with the people, but with his disciples as well, over and over again, as he tried to teach them, to show them that once they knew this truth, the truth of who they were and whose they were, they would be free. But not only that, to demonstrate and show by example that anything we did to a fellow human being, we were doing unto God. He gave us the commandment that we were to love God with all our heart and all our soul and all of our mind, and to love each other as he loved us. Clearly we see it's in alignment with what the Buddha said in his first declaration of how we should live. The second is to seek out good role models. To find someone who's truly excellent with the qualities and try to look up to them and emulate them. The Buddha says by relying on such role models, we'll be able to mold and transform our character and behavior into something much more positive. And as a result, we will encounter fewer difficulties. I have come to learn, and I don't even want to say the hard way, but it was the necessary way, that for me, the only role model ever will be Jesus. In the various years that I have gone to churches or the various spiritual organizations I have been involved with, the leaders to whom I looked up to and respected, as I came to see and know them better, fell far short of people who I should be trying to emulate. The devastation of finding out that the people you so-called looked up to and respected and took them for a role model were somehow less perfect than you imagined or more imperfect than yourself was shattering for me, which caused me to forever now to walk my path solely on my own with God. I do not wish to look to other people for their guidance or direction. I personally seek to look to Jesus as my role model, my way shower, my truth teller. And I am not advocating that you do the same, but I'm merely inviting you to be very clear and very discerning about who you choose to look to as a role model for guiding your life. I share my shortcomings, I share my failures, my ups and downs, so I do not look or expect anyone to look to me as a role model, other than to say, she looks to Jesus, we should do the same. The Buddha says to approach all endeavors with intelligence. Whatever activities you are involved in, be they spiritual or mundane, you should approach them with intelligence. You need to ask yourself, what qualities do you need to fulfill this role? How should this be done? What information is needed? And seek to acquire the necessary skills and qualities to listen to and learn from others and to change yourself. We have shared on the Sunday so often that there has to be a balance and an integration between the head and the heart. Too much in either one place or the other is unhealthy and unbalanced. However, Buddha is inviting us to recognize that skill of balance, the necessity of bringing both the heart and the mind do or to be involved in whatever it is, to look at what qualities do you need to fulfill whatever is before you to do. I think sometimes we jump into things, into projects, without thinking what are the necessary skill sets or qualities we need and bumble along the way as best we can. We fall short of investigating and planning and directing, and it's acquiring whatever it is, and sometimes we might not have it. But the realization we need to look for others that can supplement that. We go through life sometimes struggling, unnecessarily so, because we haven't approached whatever is before us with the necessary intelligence that is required and needed. Sometimes we run and jump into things without necessarily aligning ourselves with, is that what Spirit desires or wants for us? I found myself guilty of that. I was asked to write a prayer for someone who was deaf. And having done that, I thought to myself, oh, I should really start posting prayers and posting the Sunday Soul on the website. I didn't think of to pray and ask the divine intelligence whether that was the right thing to do or not. I simply just jumped into it, and every Sunday after I posted the Sunday Soul, I would then be transcribing the whole service. And it would take me hours every week to do this. But I thought I was doing something good. Finally, yesterday, I managed to communicate with someone who works with people who are deaf and is knowledgeable. And I asked whether what I was doing had value or was worth it. And she responded that for most deaf people, they stop reading at the age of 8 because they are now focused on sign language. That hadn't occurred to me. Of course, their main language would be sign language, not necessarily reading. And I paused and thought to myself how I had dove into this, thinking I was doing something useful. But really, I was just spending a lot of time on Sunday preparing something that was not of benefit to anyone. And so, like the Buddha suggests, we should approach our endeavors with intelligence building, bringing both heart and mind into whatever it is, aligning ourselves with the spirit that is at the source of all things. And if we don't have the necessary skill set, seek out those. Truly, I should have sought out this person's skill set before jumping in and spending hours every week typing up something that was of no use or benefit. The fourth thing that the Buddha says is that we should nurture dignity and confidence. Sometimes we encounter problems and challenges in our lives, or we experience failure. And at such times, we shouldn't let the setback rob us of our dignity and confidence. Instead, we should approach the situation in a constructive way and think, I didn't succeed here. And why was that? What was missing? What did I not think about? What did I do wrong? And it isn't to judge yourself as a failure, because in truth, all failures can give us an opportunity to learn and grow from. And so, when I think of how the example of Jesus is my guide for everything, anything he encountered that was challenging, the fact that the disciples would get the truth for 1 minute and be fearful and doubtful the next, would remember who he was and who they were, and then again they would forget. He didn't allow the continuous one step forward and two steps backwards with them to dishearten him or to dissuade him. He maintained the confidence and the dignity of the beloved Son of God to continue to do the work for which he was purposed. And so, my beloved, for me, an answer to the question, how then shall we live? It is to be compassionate and kind and caring. It is to seek the answers, guidance, and direction from our way-shower. It is to embrace the heart and mind as we embark upon anything and everything and seek the guidance, and not be afraid of failure, but to be confident in knowing who you are and whose you are. My sacred text then sums it all up in Colossians 3:12-13. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness and patience. bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so must you forgive. The author of Colossians sums up all that the Buddha has shared in the 16th verse. I don't know how you are expressing kindness and compassion, how you are expressing humility or meekness or patience or forbearing and forgiving those that have wounded and hurt you. But I do know this morning the invitation is, as we question how then shall we live, is to investigate and ensure that we, in our everyday encounters, are expressing from this level of awareness and understanding. My story is a short one. So tonight, Jay McCullbaker, Tay Knight, and myself went out to eat at this place called Brad's in Oxford. And after us sitting there a while waiting on our food, I noticed an elderly woman sitting alone. My exact thoughts were, dang, I'd hate to have to eat alone. So after thinking about it a minute, I walked over to her and asked if I could sit with her. She said yes, and we talked for a minute. And after a while of talking, she told me she had lost her husband and tomorrow would have been their 60th anniversary. I instantly gave my condolences and asked her to come and eat with us, which she was excited to do. The point in this is always to be kind and to be nice to people. You never know what they are going through. This woman changed my outlook on life and how I look on other people. Everyone has a story, so do not judge. This young man's little story shows how he, in his own way, was practicing compassion and kindness. My Science of Mind reading is written today by Ernest Holmes, and he shares just one quote from St. Teresa of Avila. Accustom yourself continually to make many acts of love, for they rekindle and melt the soul. Ernest writes, if we have to search for God, where would we go? If we have to find the kingdom, in what direction should we look? The illumined one said the kingdom is within. This kingdom is already established, even though we have not discovered it. Life has made a gift that we have not accepted. There is an interior reality to everything, a divine pattern hidden in everything. There is a unifying presence and law at the center of everyone and everything, a unity that binds all together in one common source, one living spirit, one divine presence. Each is a unique manifestation of this one. The one wears many faces, but behind the mask of each is the coordinating unity of all. Jesus implies that no one can enter the kingdom of God without desiring to take others, all others, with him. For he said, I was hungered, and he gave you meat. I was thirsty, and he gave me drink. I was a stranger, and he took me in. Naked, and he clothed me. I was sick, and he visited me. I was in prison, and he came unto me. The kingdom of God, into which he invites us to enter, is that realm of pure spirit which includes everyone. It is a unity of good. It is one of the supreme tests of the integrity of our spiritual conviction that we desire and permit this inclusiveness. I love what Ernest Holmes shares, which again is repeated by Lawrence G. Lovesick, who says, try to make at least one person happy every day. If you cannot do a kind deed, speak a kind word. If you cannot speak a kind word, think a kind thought. Count up, if you can, the treasure of happiness that you would have dispensed in a week, in a year, in a lifetime. My beloved, I think we have clear examples to the question, how then shall we live? If you haven't already, I invite you to close your eyes as we go within to commune with the ground of being, the source of all that is God in us as us. I'd like to remind you of the words of Job. That it is the Spirit of God that has made me. It is the breath of the Almighty that gives me life. Let us be conscious as we take the next 3 deep breaths in, that we are breathing in the life-giving, energizing, renewing, restorative breath of God. Inhale, draw the diaphragm, extend the stomach, and breathe in the breath of life. Gently, slowly breathe. Inhale. Hold. Gently, slowly. And our third and final deep breath in. Inhale. Hold. Gently, slowly. As always, at this time, we like to honor this temple that houses the Spirit of God by honoring the beautiful emotions that are stored in each organ, as well as releasing the emotions that aren't healthy for us, that doesn't serve us. So bring your attention down into your heart, take a moment to acknowledge your gratitude. The incredible work that heart does without you consciously thinking as it pumps the life-giving blood around your body. As you inhale, affirm, this is my breath as I breathe in love. Exhale, this is my breath as I breathe out cruelty. Inhale, this is my breath as I breathe in joy. This is my breath as I breathe out impatience. Place your attention on your kidneys, the back. Take a moment to acknowledge with gratitude the work that your kidneys do as it seeks to eliminate all the toxic substances from your body. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in gentleness. Exhale, this is my breath as I breathe out fear. Inhale, this is my breath as I breathe in calmness. Exhale, my breath as I breathe out stress. Now bring your attention to the front of your body, to your liver, under your rib cage on the right side. Your liver is the largest organ that can repair and heal itself It also detoxifies the blood and fights infection. Take a moment to acknowledge with deep gratitude the work of your liver. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in kindness. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out anger. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in generosity. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out frustration. Now bring attention to your lungs. Take a moment to acknowledge the work that your lungs do. Give them thanks because they're the organs that bring in the air from the atmosphere and allow the oxygen to pass through your bloodstream and around your body. Always, I remind you, we can go for days or weeks without food or water, but only moments without the breath. So give thanks and honor your lungs. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in honesty. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out depression. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in courage. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out sadness. Now place your attention on your stomach. Take a moment and be grateful for how your stomach stores and mixes and breaks down the food. It's what gives you the energy to sustain you. Now as you inhale, it's firm. This is my breath as I breathe in fairness. Exhale, this is my breath as I breathe out anxiety. Inhale, this is my breath as I breathe in trust. My breath as I breathe out worry. Take a moment just to scan from the crown of your head all the way down to your body, all the way down to the soles of your feet. Just being grateful for this wonderful temple. Let us acknowledge all of the systems within our body. The skeletal, the nervous, the muscular, the respiratory, the endocrine, the immune, the cardiovascular, the circulatory, the urinary, the intergenitary, the reproductive, and the digestive system. Now affirm, the divine within me is wholeness. And my mind reflects this wholeness into every organ, every function, every action, every reaction of my physical being, renewing it after the perfect pattern, Christ within me. Take a deep breath in as we enter into our circle of prayer. As always, you're invited to include anything or anyone that's in need of prayer at this time. We know that God is the life force, the indestructible intelligence, power, presence that is everywhere present, every point in space and time that is right where we are. There is nowhere where God is not. Divine beloved, grounded being, thou who art the source of all that is. As we consciously come into communion with you this morning, embracing the words of Buddha and embodying the teachings of our Way Show Jesus, let us seek to live in the breath, in the awareness of who we are and whose we are, and for fulfilling that which we came here to do. To see every moment as an opportunity to be that place where your love shines through, to inspire, to touch, to uplift, to empower not only ourselves but one another. We are the place where your life expresses through, where your divinity shines through, where your intelligence manifests through. When wondering how shall we live, let us remember this truth. To make each day count. To make our interactions with one another matter. To express kindness and patience and treat each other with respect and dignity. To be patient and forbearing and forgiving. And to do in the simple words of our teacher, love you with all our heart and mind, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Mother, Father, God, as we look around the world at this time, there seems a shortage of love being expressed. So let us do our part, as we know that the kingdom of God is right where we are, to radiate all that the kingdom contains. All peace, all love, all power, all joy, all that is good. And as we radiate these qualities, not only within ourselves, but to all who we meet, let us hold in our mind's eye a world that reflects these qualities, that live from this awareness of our oneness, of our interconnectedness, and of our being expressions of the one life, irrespective of what religious tradition or path we may walk. As we are in this silence, take a moment to see a world where there is no wars, a world where governments are no longer corrupt, a world where every child is fed and educated, nurtured, nourished and loved. A world where women and men are seen as equals, and where all people are accepted, irrespective of their religion, gender orientation, class, culture, social background, or any of the myriad of things we find to see ourselves as separate from one another. Cleanse and purify our hearts and minds of anything that may separate us one from another or from you. Let us know, value, and accept our true worth as sons and daughters of the Most High God. For your infinite grace, your endless blessings, your eternal mercy, we are ever, ever grateful. And so it is. And so it is. Take a deep breath in as we do our movement prayer this morning. Stretch your hand towards the sky, wiggle your fingers and affirm aloud, I open myself to the oneness of all of life. Cross your hands, palms down over your heart and affirm aloud. I radiate love to all who I meet. Bring your hands as if in prayer in front of your lips and affirm. I speak only words that affirm the quality of life I want. Drop your hands to your sides, palms open and affirm. I'm continuously grateful for all my blessings, seen and unseen. Bend your elbows and make small circles with your wrists and affirm. I let go of any real or perceived shortcomings I may have. Take a deep breath in as I mute the phone lines with the Buddhist reflections and science of mind affirmation. Repeat after me. Silently I pass.
Silently I pass.
From less to more.
From less to more.
From isolation into inclusion. From separation into oneness.
From separation into one.
Our Buddhist reflections. If anyone has hurt or harmed me, knowingly or unknowingly in thought or deed, I freely forgive them and I ask forgiveness. If I have hurt or harmed anyone, knowingly or unknowingly in thought, word, or deed. I forgive the past and close the door. I forgive all and resentment is dissolved. I forgive myself and I am at peace.
I forgive myself and I am at peace.
I accept myself and I am free.
I accept myself and I am free.
May I feel protected and safe.
May I feel protected and safe.
Contented and at peace.
Contented and at peace.
May my physical body provide me with strength.
May my physical body provide me with strength.
May my life unfold smoothly and with ease. May I be happy.
May I be happy.
May I be peaceful.
May I be peaceful.
May I be free. May my friends be happy.
May my friends be happy.
May they be peaceful.
May they be peaceful.
May those that challenge me be happy. May they be peaceful. May all beings be happy. May all beings be happy. May they be peaceful. May they be free. Our prayer of intention, I am the life of God within and without.
I am the life of God within and without.
Radiating brightly. I am the love of God within and without.
Expressing unconditionally.
I am the power of God within and without.
I am the power of God within and without, manifesting exuberantly.
I am the presence of God within and without.
Eternal and unceasingly.
Our rumi thought for the week. Rumi says, gamble everything for love. If you are a true human being, If not, leave this gathering. Half-heartedness doesn't reach into majesty. So as we come towards the close of our Sunday soul for this week, just to remind you, our 10 and 10 will be on Thursday as usual, our 10-minute midweek top-up. My closing benediction. May the love of God be the ocean that you sail on, and the grace of God bring you calm in stormy days. May the word of God guide you to your destination, and the breath of God speed you safely on your way. My closing song this week is one of my favorites. It's simply entitled The Goodness of God by Jen Johnson. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Jen Johnson and the Goodness of God. My beloved, I wish you a very blessed and happy Sunday. Until we meet again on Thursday, peace and blessings.